If you have a job, you probably have a boss, someone who directs, manages, and supervises you. And some of us have great working relationships with our bosses. Others, not so much. So on this National Bosses Day, we want to hear your boss horror stories. We're also going to talk about what makes a good boss. My guest is Sam Sanders. He's a human resources expert. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
Good, good. Now, even before I get into this, now, do you supervise anyone?
I do.
Okay, how many folks?
I have two direct reports.
You have two direct reports. So are you a good boss or a bad boss? Are you the wicked witch from the west or the good witch from the north?
You know, I like to think that I'm a good boss, but that would be for them to declare that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, managing expectations and giving feedback, prompt feedback, I think is important. So to me, those are the couple elements that make a good boss. And I think I do those well.
When you think overall about what makes a good boss, what is the first thing that kind of comes to mind?
First, when you know that you're walking into a situation where you have direct reports, it's making the expectations clear. We've all been in a situation where you walk into a scenario and you have unclear expectations, or you're not really sure how I'm going to be rated on my performance. So how do I get a raise? How do I get a promotion? All of those things are important to outline at the onset of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people say they want their boss to be nice, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's a nice boss is a good boss.
That's absolutely correct. You know, and nice is relative. You know, nice could be having complete autonomy over your schedule, you know, showing up when you want. It could mean a number of things to people. But I think what's fair to expect is clear expectations, to have feedback on your performance, and to understand kind of how your role impacts the organization. Mm. That's, to me, is what's important.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is National Bosses Day. Did you give your boss a gift? I mean, a real gift. I don't mean a gag gift or, you know, something that'll make your boss sick. We're talking about bad bosses today. What's your bad boss horror story? I'd like to hear from you. Let's check in with Steven. Steven calling from D.C. What's your bad boss story, Steven? Whoops. Oh, there it is. Bad cell phone. let's go to James. James calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, James. What's your bad boss story?
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
I'm just humble and I'm thankful. And I've learned through 2 years of horrific abuse that the system does work. You have to follow through, and you have to document when you have somebody that's unfair, when you have somebody that has no interest in seeing you succeed or seeing the team succeed. They're just on a, if there are just a lot of bosses or a lot of people that's a negative, they base everything on, if you don't agree with what they say, then you're wrong and they're going to be out to get you. And instead of trying to motivate and have a good team, they just set things up on a personal level, and if you don't agree, if you're not on their team, or if you're not going with what their beck and call is, then you've got to be eliminated, and they'll do it. Well, thankfully, I've learned through personal experience that when you document things that are right and wrong, and you do your job, you're there on time, all that stuff, it catches up with them. You just got to keep your documentation straight and just make sure that you need to be on time and do your job as you're supposed to. And usually the systems that's in place, the EEO and the different places that they have for people just not being fair to you, mm-hmm. It does work. It just takes a long time.
Okay. James, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What's your bad boss story? We'll have the short version of your stories tonight. We got a lot of folks coming on the program. T, calling from D.C., what's on your mind?
I echo what was just said. We have a boss that he doesn't know what he's doing. He's scared to confront people about it. And when you confront him, he always brushes you off. he's just an a-hole, and I'm going to call him by my name, Ronnie Lowe.
Hey, we're not going to name names because we want you to keep your job.
Don't make sense.
So let me say that to you. But with that said, one of the things, Sam, that the previous caller said, he described what would sound like a dictatorial situation, do as I say, you must agree with me. Is that a bad boss?
Not necessarily. I think first, before you get into that scenario, people get into working environments and they're desperate. And so you don't do the necessary research to determine whether or not this is an environment that I can thrive and grow in. So you find yourselves in situations where you're having to put up with a bad boss. And so someone that gives very clear or specific directions and is a no-nonsense person doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad boss. I think there is a lot of give and take in relationships, and certainly your boss-employee relationship is one of those. So I think moving in a way that if there is an issue that comes up, you know, like the last caller said, documenting that, those instances, and escalating appropriately. You know, if you're having issues with your direct supervisor, your manager, simply continuing that back and forth is not going to be helpful to you or your boss. Mm-hmm. So escalating it as appropriate.
What part does fair play or being fair play into being a good boss when someone if someone were to put that question to me, the first thing that I would think about is fairness. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you are always going to be right when you address your boss. But that to me seems to be the most important thing. How high up on the ladder is fairness in your mind?
So fairness is, you know, it's a fleeting thing. You know, you achieve some level of equality through compensation. You may have the same title and all of those things. At the end of the day, you are you are giving a service to a company, and they are receiving something from you. It's a fair exchange, and mm-hmm. From that perspective, I think it's, you know, we have to remove that to some degree from an expectation that, you know, I'm coming in, I'm offering a service, I'm being rendered compensation as a result of that. If you get into this fair game.
Well, and let me say, when I say fairness, I'm talking about during the course, you know, if there is, a dispute.
Sure.
If there's a dispute. And that may not necessarily have to do even with me, but how other employees or subordinates are dealt with, and as it relates to, you know, playing favorites, and, you know, especially if there is an equal playing field when you talk about, you know, skills and talents.
Sure. So I think you as a manager, as a boss, you have to be equitable in terms of what you allow. If you're allowing one person or one group of people work from home, or you allowing time off that may not necessarily coincide with their PTO balance, those things I think should be equitable across the board. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me is fair.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about bad bosses. You have a bad boss horror story? Let's see what Dante from Woodbridge, Virginia has to say. Dante, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing today, sir?
Just fine.
Good to be on the radio today.
Thank you.
So I've had a really bad boss, and the way she acted towards us associates, it would be hurtful. You know, she would say, oh, you guys aren't doing the job the right way. What's wrong with you guys? I don't care. I'll fire you guys, get a new team. And she's actually told me, she said, I'm going to get the worst of the worst to come to the desk because I do paint, you know? And I was like, wow, can you say that? She's like, well, yeah, I'm the boss. I tell you what to do. As long as you do what I tell you to, you'll be fine. I'm like, come on, I mean, that's kind of unfair. Why would you, talk about us like that? She talks about us behind other people's backs. If we go help another customer, she'd be like, did I tell you to go over there? No, you do a handoff. You hand off the customer, you come right back. This is your department. You stay there. And I'm like, wow. So managers or other managers will say you're supposed to help the other associate, I mean, the other customers in the store. So even if your supervisor tells you not to, you're supposed to do it. And she gets mad, and she always pages us on a loudspeaker 1,400 times. We're like, we go back, and she's always rude and nasty. Now, she gets her work done, but I'm like, man, the way she talks to us is very hurtful. It's demeaning, you know?
Well, let me see what Sam has to say about that. That sounds to me, you know, short of, you know, Marine Corps boot camp,
right,
that she sounds rather abusive. Are you getting that same kind of impression?
So it sounds like there might be some level of power tripping here. What we first have to understand is bosses, like everyone else, they are imperfect. They are fallible. They don't have unlimited time. They don't have encyclopedic knowledge. Or extrinsic perception. They're fallible people. They're just like you and I. And so it's important to first see them as that they're mm-hmm. going to, you don't show up every day and you're not, you know, excited necessarily to be at work every day. And so there should be some room for that. For just personality.
Dante, hold on, because I want Sam to give you some advice on how to address that. So please don't hang up. Also, Georgia calling from D.C., Daryl in Maryland, Mercy in Frederick, Maryland. We're going to talk to you also. This is National Bosses Day. We want to hear your bosses, your boss horror stories. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We've got somebody else in studio. Boy, she's got some horror stories as well. We're going to hear from her. Please stay with us. Don't hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. I'm Harold Fisher. This is National Bosses Day, and we want to hear your boss horror stories. We're also talking about what it takes to make a good boss. My guest joining us now, Dr. Jerry Dyson. She's a physician and author of An Apple a Day Keeps the Drama Away. I think she wrote that after she had some bad boss experiences. Also, Sam Sanders continues with us. He's a human resources expert. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we finish up with Dante, what would you suggest he do when you're dealing with a boss who is verbally abusive? Sounds like he's talking about a store, retail of some sort. So it doesn't sound like he has a lot of power.
Sure. So the Harvard Business Review has a great article on managing your boss. And I would say first check that out, because it gives some great pointers. One of the things that it talks about is understanding your boss's expectations from their superior. Often we are not clear as to what our boss's stressors are. And so first, I think helping the boss understand, hey, we're in the same fight. So I'm here to be an assistant. I'm here to remove things from your plate. And I want to be able to do that in the best way. This back and forth relationship we have, the way you speak to me, really does not promote that. And I'd like it to stop. So I think simply having a frank discussion about, one, understanding what their superior expects of them so that you can help, you know, evening the load. But then also just being clear about, hey, this type of the way you speak to me, the way you handle me really is not good for workplace.
Happiness, for lack of a better term. Dr. Jerry.
Yes.
You're happy now.
I'm happy now.
Because you're your own boss.
Yes, exactly.
But that wasn't always the case.
It wasn't.
Yeah, what's your boss horror story?
So in medicine, we have multiple bosses. You have different layers of bosses. You have the fellow who might be 2 years your senior, but he still may be considered your boss. You have the head attending. Then you have the attending's boss. So the hierarchy of medicine is a little different from most jobs. The thing that I can say is that personalities and personality disorders run rampant among us.
Personality disorders.
Diagnosed personality disorders. So at the conclusion of it all, you really have to be cognizant of, even though from a logistic standpoint, it may make sense to document
so what happened?
State expectations.
Tell me the story. What happened?
Oh, it's multiple stories. I don't think we have time, Harold.
Give me the short version.
Okay, I will give you some examples of some not so good scenarios that I've been in previously, where people may expect you to do things that they themselves don't want to do, or they will use you as the quote unquote, like go in as the bad guy to break news that they don't necessarily want to be responsible for doing. So depending, like we talked about in medicine, depending on the hierarchy, that's your responsibility. Even if it's not because the boss told you to do it, then you go in and do it and get it done. So I think the mindset of most people in medicine is very different. We're just like, the objective is to get it done. And I know you all were talking with somebody who was in the military earlier.
No, I was saying that it sounded
right.
Like, but he's in a store.
Yeah, that's how medicine is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you don't ask a lot of questions, you get the job done, and you just do it. But one thing I have learned from having bad bosses is how not to be a boss like that. Mm-hmm. You can use, and I think everybody who's listening can kind of take the scenarios, the bad experiences that they have. And once you get into a supervisory position, make sure that you remember how somebody treated you so you do not in turn inflict that same trauma or whatever it is on people who may be working with you or underneath you. It just depends. So that's my whole, you know, everything.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Georgia calling from D.C. Hey, Georgia, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I worked for the district for over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Office of EEO, and they're charged with employment discrimination, housing, public accommodation.
Right.
And also discrimination complaints against educational institutions. I was the most senior employee in that agency, and I was abruptly terminated. No indication whatsoever that there was an issue with my performance. And as a matter of fact, I was an overachiever in terms of my dues and responsibilities.
So what was it? So what's the bad boss story, Georgia?
The bad boss story is certainly there are expectations, and that should be conveyed to employees, and that was not done where I was concerned. So I was saying at the last hour, after 40 plus years of employment, you are abruptly terminated without a reason.
Hmm.
That's certainly a bad boss.
Is that a bad boss, Sam? Or I mean, without knowing, the details, if it were, private industry, I could almost say it sounds like downsizing.
So being terminated is difficult on both ends. Mm-hmm. Having had, to conduct terminations and watching other people be terminated, it's difficult. So to say because someone was terminated, someone's a bad boss, I don't think we can lay our cards there. If there is no reason given, it's possible that you're in an at-will state, which means that they can terminate with or without cause, with or without reason. And so those are the other considerations that you have to take to mind. But simply terminating someone does not necessarily equate to being a bad boss.
Thank you, Georgia. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Yvonne. Calling from hey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Just fine. So what's your bad boss story?
So I'm a nurse, and I can equate my stories with
Dr. Jerry.
Dr. Jerry. Now, I am a nurse, and so we also have hierarchies, and we have DONs and immediate supervisors and stuff like that. So we had a DON that would walk in the morning, and we had night shift, and all she did was yell. There was nothing that was perfect for anybody at any cost, and it was just such a hostile work environment. And if you went to her with any questions, she would yell at you and not explain to you what you needed to do to perform your work. And so it was just a situation where
you never knew what you were doing wrong, and you never knew what you did right.
Mm.
And yeah, it was like she had no, I don't know, I didn't think she had any knowledge of management or supervisory, you know, she just didn't. And eventually, as a facility, we ended up having to get a G because, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Get a what? What's a G? What's a G?
Well, it's almost like it's given, you know, the state comes in and kind of looks over different facilities, and they give you
an inspection of sorts.
Yeah. An inspection of
Okay,
some
yeah, when you said G, I thought you had, like, original gangsters or something. I don't know. Okay, you know, but you survived that, right, Yvonne? You survived it. Obviously.
Yes,
yeah.
I survived mm-hmm. it, but you know, I no longer work for the company, but I would never work for her.
Yeah.
And I would never work under her. And also, I would never become like her as I go forward in my nursing career, you know?
Okay.
Because, yeah.
Well, I appreciate your phone call, Yvonne. Thank you so much for giving us a call. You know, one of the things I keep hearing throughout these conversations with our listeners are morale issues. And I would imagine that if you have a boss that is not at least on some level a cheerleader or someone who is supporting positive morale, that things in the workplace can go downhill.
Yeah, it can go downhill, but you have morale building, like, oh, we're going to have a barbecue, the office is going to have baseball games, oh, we're going to do soccer. But what happens is we are often trying to hoorah, rah, rah, yeah, the boss is trying to be cheerleaders and get the morale up of people who've been there 15, 20, 25 years of abuse, and then you taking people to a baseball game for us to compete is not going to work.
Right.
Until we actually, as supervisors, as bosses, as whoever, get to the root of what the structural problem is with all of these emotions and different personalities. And some people are just in positions that they are really not equipped to handle. Like Yvonne was saying, you have a number of people who have positions of leadership who have not been trained to be leaders. They find those positions by default. Somebody quit, somebody retired, somebody resigned, we downsized. Oh, you weren't able to do that before, but you were the only person who's able to do it now. So that's your on-job training. You don't get a course where you go off and you learn how to be a leader. So even if the morale of the group is low and you try to do activities, the morale on that during the activity is still low, and you hear the sarcasm.
But I don't necessarily even mean activities. I'm talking about in the day to day, in the sense that if someone is doing a good job, no, you don't have to tell them every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do something exceptional, and I don't mean they need a trophy or they don't need a plaque.
Right.
I'm talking about an email. I'm talking about an attaboy, an attagirl. So, you know, to balance out. No, you say no? Or,
I agree with what you're saying, but there are scenarios. I can give you prime examples where I have had patients who have specifically written up phenomenal things about me. You never hear about it.
Yeah,
until
that's
that
what,
one
yeah.
thing that you do wrong, oh, you were late 15 minutes for a meeting. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do you see the plethora of acumens, accolades, just different things that people have said? But some people for their own, some supervisors really have intimidation factor.
Yeah.
So they don't want to express to you how great you are because it's going to, actually me shining light on you is going to help others see what I'm not doing. So it's psychologically, like we were talking about before, it's so much intimidation. There are people who are uncertain of themselves. They're uncertain of their own job security. So I don't want to shine too much light on you because also if I shine a lot of light on you at the year-end evaluation, I may have to pay you more money or give you a bonus.
There you go.
That's the other thing I don't want to do either as a boss.
So I totally agree. So I think some people, some bosses deal with this self-preservation. So you find someone who can absolutely do the job, but as you said, outshines or has the appearance of outshining you. Now, instead of, you know, attempting to promote that person and, you know, shine light on the fact that they have, you know, decreased deficiencies, they have made process improvements, that person who has emotional intelligence deficiencies will typically try to quiet that high performer. The challenge, and I think we've all dealt with, you have these activities, you have these different what are considered morale boosters, and people don't stay with companies because they had a great picnic. They don't stay with company because they, you know, hey, we went out to a baseball game. Those are not things that attract employees or keep them around. What makes it what attracts employees and keeps them focused and have keeping high morale is focusing in on what motivates you. So having during those one-on-one discussions that should be happening weekly or on some type of routine basis, trying to understand what is it when you're in a lull, what helps you get re-engaged with your job? Because we need you engaged all the time. Mm-hmm. We have metrics we have to meet. So having those frank discussions about what keeps your direct reports engaged is so key to that morale piece. Mm.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Daryl calling from Maryland. We're going to ask about his bad boss story. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. It's National Bosses Day. Did you give your boss a card? I mean, you know, real card, not with like something in it that you don't want them to have. You're calling them names and everything else. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is National Bosses Day. We continue our conversation about boss horror stories. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl calling from Maryland. Hey, what's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm just fine.
All right. Well, first of all, I'll start off with, I don't go with my boss.
You what?
I don't go with my boss.
Okay.
You're saying that they, your boss, or this or that? No, I don't approve of that. So, they all have titles.
Okay. Well, we're speaking generically, Daryl. Everybody has a title, but go ahead. What's your story?
Okay, so... I mean, I actually don't have a story because they come out and say they're a boss to me. I'll warn them first and let them know you're not my boss. But they are a manager, supervisor, whatever, owner, whatever.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem in doing anything that you ask me to.
Uh-huh.
But when you come off disrespectful, you'll get disrespected back.
And what do you do for a living, Daryl?
I'm a sweep operator.
Okay. Sweeper.
Yeah, and we have supervisors that need supervising training.
Mm-hmm.
So we need training, especially where we at, and that favoritism. You know, if I don't like you, I'm going to try to make it hard for you, all that crazy stuff like that. Well, if you want to be a good supervisor, you got to have good people skills.
Yeah, yeah. You make a very good point, Daryl. Thank you so much. And that was something we discussed earlier about being a good manager, being a good supervisor, and certainly being a person who is able to manage people well. Certainly helps. But you know, with that said, does gender matter, certainly when you're talking about, you know, historically in America, supervisors, managers, bosses were men. Obviously, over the past 40 years, we've seen so many more women enter into the workforce, enter into management, enter into business ownership, senior management in government, and the like. From your perspective, Jerry, does it matter whether your boss is male or female? Do you believe that some women bosses are better at managing than men?
Okay. So this is a loaded dialogue that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. I do believe that people are people, but I believe that the way people manage based on their gender is very different. So like we were discussing earlier, I have had some females who've been because of their own hurdles that they have to jump, and I need to come into the boardroom. I'm the only female there. I need to be able to prove that I'm able to hold my own. So some females operate in a more masculine energy when it comes to some corporate sectors. And sometimes that masculine energy can come off as them being more hostile, less tolerant, more I'm going to stick to my guns, because in their minds they feel that they're being viewed at a different caliber than their male colleagues. So that's one thing. And then if we bring in race and gender, it's a whole nother diatribe that we're going to be talking about. But I do believe that at the end of the day, my job is to come in here and complete these tasks. I'm not to like you. I don't have to like you. I need to respect you. I need to complete my job. I need to, we don't have to go out for wine. We don't have to go out for lunch.
Yeah, well, these days, after the Harvey Weinstein thing, there's no wine or going out or anything.
People are still doing that. Hell yeah, I know. Because honestly, some jobs you are not going to be promoted unless you actually go to the happy hour, the after hour for drinks, and because the networking that takes place outside of the 9-to-5 is so much stronger than it is when you're actually in office. So you have to, for some positions, political positions, government positions, they want to make sure that you are a well-rounded person. And part of that is coming to the golf game, doing this. And half of that is how you're promoted. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not able to have those C-suite opportunities.
Do you think gender makes a difference for bosses, Sam?
A loaded question. You know, I can speak from my own experiences. And what I'll say is the challenge in my recent history has been wanting to understand where, if I'm being managed by a woman, where you are today. You know, how do I approach you? Is this a talking day? Is this not a talking day? How are we going to communicate? What's your mood like? And that does have an impact on the work. You know, here I'm here to do a job. I'm looking to get additional direction. And so where you are should not impact my ability to get my job done. And sometimes it does.
But I can say honestly, you know, having had both men and female supervisors, I could say the same thing about some of the men.
Sure.
I could say, you know, okay, where are you today? You know, did your team lose yesterday coming in on Monday? Mm-hmm. Did you lose money, you know, gambling on the ball game? Do you like your wife today? I think those same kind of issues are not really gender specific. Maybe And maybe for me, generationally, you know, there may be some guys that may have specific issues with women bosses. I've never had a problem, but then again, my mother was a manager, and so seeing her manage a large group of educators. Administrators, and I'm not talking about two or five, I'm talking about 10, 15 people with different ages, different backgrounds, black and white, different socioeconomic backgrounds. So so growing up and observing that as a professional, when I've had women bosses, my attitude has always been, okay. Because to me, knowledge is power. Sure. And in the news business, whether it was, you know, Radio Now or in television, you had to know stuff. Sure. And to me, you know, the women knew just as much as, if not, you know, more than the men. So I guess it just, to me, it was never an issue. So
we have to be able to acknowledge that there is a difference in personality.
Absolutely.
And not pinpoint, you know, this person's going to act like that because they're this, that lady. Dr. Jerry's a black female, so my expectation of her is she's going to come in with an attitude or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, your job is to come in and complete your assignments. Now, part of that is understanding and learning the people that you work with. at the end of the day. Right. So you can't go from your last experience and say, oh, well, I had a guy who was, you know, I had a, in medicine, you have a lot of international personalities that you work with. So some of those international personalities, even though this is 2017, 2018, they are not accustomed to black females having positions of power. So you have to keep, you know, even with the hierarchy, like the nurse who called earlier, you have to keep letting them know that you are in charge. So you'll have somebody who comes in the room and they may automatically assume, oh, this young man, this young white guy who is 20 years under you is the boss when he's not the boss. So it's just a lot of stuff that people are dealing with. You're dealing with folks who are coming in, going through divorces, going through custody battles. People have lives outside of their jobs. So we cannot, and I understand that we do need to take it seriously, but we need to really kind of slow down. And that's when you need to be able to pull over and say, hey, I noticed that, you know, your personality may be changing. Is there anything that I can do to assist you so that we can get this? We have an item line that is due in 3 months. And we have to get this done. Is there anything that me and the team can do to expedite this, to take the ease off of you? And hopefully you'll be able to do that for me in the future. It's just about teamwork, honestly.
I agree. And Dr. Jerry, you made a great point. And I think what it boils down to is emotional intelligence, understanding how your behavior, how you interact. You know, if you recognize that someone's having an off day, just, you know, hey, checking in on them and seeing, you know, what can I do to help alleviate some stress? Also, I've learned the power of negotiating. Sometimes people are what they're showing you or displaying at work is a demonstration of just stress. And so I've learned the power of negotiating. You know, if I'm needing something from you and I have a deadline, hey, what can I do for you in order to get what I need from you in time for my deadline? You know,
should I buy my boss a gift if on his or her birthday?
I'm so glad I used to work for the federal government and Department of Defense, and we had rules. It can't be more than $25. So I treat everybody the same way. If you come to me selling Girl Scout cookies for your daughter, I'm not going to buy from you, because then I'm not going to come and buy calendars and pizzas from you. So I don't do gifts. I don't do, hey, can you buy this? Can you do the other? I treat everybody pretty much the same way.
Okay. And as a boss, you don't accept gifts now.
And my thing is, if you just do your job, I just want you to do your job. We don't. You don't have to buy me a gift. Just do your job.
Okay, but what if a boss, what if somebody buys you a gift?
Like what? Look, like what?
I knew it.
I mean, I think it depends on the sector that you're in, you know. So if you have a close relationship, I mean, I think that can develop organically, and you can sometimes the lines can get blurred respectfully.
Exactly.
However, I think placing boundaries on what those gifts look like, you know, having frank discussions and saying, hey, you know, this is, if we're going to do gift giving, we're doing gifts at this price range and nothing above that. I think that helps also create expectations for them.
Because I am going to tell you, since it's Boss's Day,
before
I moved, there were some bosses that I had previously who took some gifts, and they ended up in jail.
I'm not talking about those.
Okay, so. I just want to make sure all the listeners were clear about those kind of legal gifts.
You know, I know what my boss likes. So, you know, okay, I will go ahead and, you know, take the Michael Kors gift certificate back then. I won't even do that.
They'll be fine. Because if you help me meet that line, I can take that money that I get and the bonus that we get and get my own stuff.
Oh, there you go.
Let me meet my expectations.
Dr. Jerry Dyson, Sam Sanders, thank you both so much. And both of you, be kind to your subordinates. You know, it's almost the end of the year. So there you go. Thank you so much. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. For this Monday, October 16th, I'm Harold Fisher. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.